Animal Companions. This is Joyce, your radio reading service volunteer broadcaster, welcoming you to this edition of Animal Companions, where we read about the animals in our lives and how they affect us. Today I'll be reading some more information from Piglet, The Unexpected Story of a Deaf, Blind, Pink Puppy and His Family by Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian. And if we have some time, I'll be reading some articles and newsletters about the animals in our lives. We're going to start today's readings with Piglet by Melissa Shapiro. In the previous chapter, we learned that Piglet was famous and he had appeared in People magazine and on NBC Nightly News. He had his own website and social media, and he had lots and lots of hits on his social media. His story became so inspirational to adults and children all over the world that he just kept getting requests more and more for appearances. And now we begin Chapter 13, The Music is Inside, March-November 2020. It was early in the morning when we started packing up the car with the travel team, Piglet, Evie, and Zoe, to attend the graduation ceremonies at the Army School of Music in Virginia Beach, Virginia. That's where Daniel had completed his 10 weeks of training. The drive ahead of us was about 7.5 hours without stops, so we had decided to travel down the day before, stay at a hotel on the beach for the night, attend the graduation the next day, and then stay for another night before heading back with Daniel the following morning. Warren began setting out dog carriers and taking out our bags, and I did a last check of the three remaining Shapiro birds, Betty, Sunny, and Lukita. Climbing the stairs to check on the aging house sparrow, Gerlitas, who lived in my upstairs office now, I half expected to see blind boy Willie up there too, but had to remind myself that he had died the previous year. He was the only member of our non-human family to leave us since the arrival of baby Bart, almost 3 years earlier. Blind and lame, Willie had been a case for me in adaptability and resilience. He didn't like leaving his own cage, but he found a way to communicate with Betty, as of always averse to change, but a hilarious character, and a Sunny, so named for her love of sunflower seeds. He'd chirp away and they'd chirp back. Whenever I made my nighttime rounds to spend time with the Gerlita and Willie, I'd kneel down in the front of his cage, stick my finger in, and let him sit there for a good while. His passing was so sad, yet he left in peace after giving us the gift of his meditative spirit. After the loss of Stevie, Betty's bonded sister, I knew it would be an adjustment for her to leave. The birdhouse making it habitable for good and move inside with Sunny, who was rescued after falling from a nest and had a serious foot injury that prevented her from being released back into the wild. Sunny loved being in an office and acting as if she could follow the words of my computer as she sat on my shoulder, in my hand, or under my chin. Once Betty arrived, she and Sunny made friends, despite some bantering, and were soon like an old married couple. Saying goodbye to them, even though it was for just a few days, had a poignancy I couldn't explain. These two were hand-raised by me at different points, but are bonded to me and to each other. When I turned to go, they both piped up, sensing something maybe, so I turned back and sang, to them, telling them that I'd be back soon. As I went back downstairs to make sure our handsome blue parakeet was secure in his spot between the living room and the kitchen, I remembered the loss of baby bird and how it took me 5 months before I could even look at any bird rescue face page. The first glimpse I took led me to a picture of the most pathetic blue and white parakeet, face planted down on newspapers. He had permanently splayed legs that had not been treated when he was young. The woman from the rescue group discouraged me from adopting him because of his severe disabilities. I persisted, persuading her by saying, "If I were you, I would give him to me. No one will take care of him like I will." In pain, with his wings clipped, Lukita arrived in terrible shape, but I had a plan for his care. He soon became more and more improved. He bonded and became very happy. He loves to cuddle, chatter away in his foreign language, and fly around the living room in all of his blue feathered glory. When I went to give him a little goodbye scratch, he bubbled forth with some version of thanks. For a moment, I had to laugh, remembering a time when I wasn't even interested in birds. We had arranged for dog and bird sitters to come stay with Dean, Gina, Annie, and Susie, the home team, while we were gone. The four of them and I gathered in the living room as I handed out dog cookies for each, assuring them by name that we would be back soon and that Nicole and Emily, their loved pet sisters, would be there too to take care of them. "Deanie, here's a cookie," I began with a vigorous rub of our black lab mix. "Be a good boy. Watch out for your sisters." Leaving for the dogs for even a short trip like this was increasingly traumatic for me. Seriously, all the dogs knew what was happening, from a telltale sign, bags being packed, supplies set out, possibly even from an overhead conversation. And they all wanted to come with us. I could see their anxiety and worry as they watched Warren and me closely, and I invariably leave the house in tears every time we went out of town. The dogs who knew that they were coming, Piggy, Evie, and Zoe, were fine, as was Dean, but the others weren't sure. Gina, who occasionally did get to go, was particularly anxiety-ridden about being left home. I had to be careful not to forget anything, because if I did and ran back to get it, Gina would leap into the air as if there was still a chance for her to go. Taking a deep breath, I crouched down to hug her tightly, reassuring my sweet white beauty that we'd be back soon, adding softly, "Gina, be nice to Dean, and if he barks too much, well, that's okay." Whenever Dean started in on his barking lately, Gina overdid it by barking at him to stop. In advance, I gave her a cookie and told her she'd have fun without me, because Nicole always takes her out to play with her favorite soccer ball. As stoic as I ever had been before, Gina munched on her cookie and gave me the slightest bobbed tail wag. Annie, who often got to come on trips with us whenever we could take four small dogs, just looked at me with that most pleading eyes that penetrated right through me. Since we were already pushing it with three little dogs this time, I felt more tortured than ever looking at our little tan, wiry-haired, true melting pot of a Chihuahua, poodle, Pekingese schnauzer, hence her terrier heritage, and more as she tiptoed over for her cookie. "Anna," I praised her, "you're always a good, sweet girl. Keep an eye on Susie for me." To my surprise, Annie promptly went over to Susie, who had curled up in one of her favorite dog beds. I knew that our beloved old girl would be fine in our absence and was in good hands with Nicole and Emily, their most favorite vet techs. Yet as I gave her one last squeeze and ran out to hop in the minivan and get on the road, I couldn't shake the sense that she was at the point in her journey that her time with us was more finite than ever before. As a house call vet, I understand the aging process in all pets and know that one of the most important parts of my job is providing in-home end-of-life services for dogs and cats. In offering compassionate guidance to pet parents anticipating the loss of their beloved dog or cat, I sought to let them know that together our job is to do all that we can to maintain quality of life and dignity for their pets. My role is to be there to help with the decision about whether to let them go peacefully. I offer this counsel with a great deal of sincerity and understanding because I know well that they are going through a lot of emotion. I know also that as an objective professional voice for people who are devastated and afraid of the pain they'll feel when they say goodbye to their treasured pets. Therefore, I try to be a source of strength when it matters most. With all that I do for others as a veterinarian and as irrational as I am about letting animals go as their quality of life deteriorates, I am no different from my clients I counsel when it comes to losing my own dogs and birds. My understanding of disease processes is what is likely to happen in specific situations might be a different level, but the sense of impending loss is as crushing to me as it is to my clients. Saying little as Warren turned into the ramp toward the highway, I knew that was where we were with Susie. I'd see her deteriorating, then she'd rally, and then she'd lapse down for a few more pegs. My judgment wasn't clouded by my love for her, but dealing with terminally ill pet was nonetheless emotionally draining. We all felt it, and leaving even for a couple of days wasn't easy. In the course of our drive to Virginia, Warren and I were quiet, listening to classical music in relative silence, with a few minor barks from our three passengers, mostly from Zozo, who was the least amount of patience for long drives. In that time, I had a sensation of catching my breath and reflecting on unexpected events in our lives, like how Piglet had become a conduit and a connector to so many different communities from so many different backgrounds. What was it about him that made all of this happen? Sometimes I thought it was just that he was so stinking cute. Possibly this possibility to Warren, I said. There's something about the way he looks and moves, even with his unusual-looking eyes that don't see and his ears that don't hear. Warren agreed, adding, he's also very sweet, which people can see. He is also a pain in the butt, which is part of who he is as well. He isn't perfect, of course. You don't know, and you don't have to be perfect to be something special. But that didn't answer my question about how he made strangers feel like they knew him, connect to each other through him. There was something about the power of empathy, a feeling that I didn't know if Piglet could feel, per se, but that Piglet mindset taught to children. In the classrooms and other settings where I'd been meeting more youngsters from the nursery school through high school, I often asked students to close their eyes and imagine what it might feel like to be blind, and then to cover their ears and think about what it might be like to not hear. They'd manage to communicate with their family and friends. If you were hungry or how to go to the bathroom, how would you communicate? How would you tell people? Then I'd ask them to imagine what Piglet feels without sight or sound. The ability to feel what someone else feels, even if you aren't limited in the same way, is what helps form a bond between strangers. If you see Piggy's little doing his butt-wiggly, twisty dance, and you feel his happiness, you've made a connection that is beyond a mindset, but a heart set, and it can make you happy too. Whatever his drawing power is, I never expected that capturing the antics of the pink boy and his canine siblings, plus some birds and humans, could have brought together strangers online in such a personal and profound way. While we drove in the car, I scrolled through some of the messages posted on different videos at different points and felt humbled to know that people enjoyed being in our company with us and found some hope no matter what they were going through. And here are some things that they wrote. This little dog has inspired me to not give up. I suffer from depression and anxiety, and not so long ago I thought there was only one way out. But then Piglet came across my page, and I saw what this little baby had accomplished, and so I got help. Because if this tiny pink puppy can go through all of that, of what he has, then I can too. And this one, I'm in recovery from years of addiction and homelessness, and I found my boy as a 7-week-old puppy just after losing custody of my first child when I was still homeless. All the love I was losing around me, he replaced, just one little pink-nosed puppy. He's 7 now and my emotional rock, and I've been clean almost 6 years, got a beautiful little family and a good life. Not sure I would have made it this way, this far, without Piggy. What all of the attention meant, hopefully, was that Piglety was bringing out good in people and maybe encouraging them to do more for their fellow beings in their corner of the world. The last year alone had been a whirlwind. There were the PetCon gatherings where we met fellow canine and other pet influencers. It was a wild and crazy scene with fans showing up and wanting to take selfies with their favorite dog celebrities. As fun as it was to hobnob with the rich and famous of the animal world, I much preferred attending such events as the annual meeting of the HSVMA held at the HSUS Animal Care Expo. That was when Piglet took his first airplane ride to New Orleans, which we almost missed due to the insane traffic on the way to the airport. We had also traveled out of town to attend the Dog Writers Association of America award banquet, where a few of my essays won awards. As I scrolled through many of the photos and videos I myself had posted, I laughed out loud at some of the videos of Piglet at different growth stages with his girlfriend, Monica, and how euphoric he is around her, getting kissed on both sides of his face. He had this whole audience of people we didn't know, but who shared in our appreciation of how he would go pocket diving for treats with all of the vet techs. Some of the comments posted from our top fans, who responded frequently, others were from our friends and allied organizations we'd gotten to know since Piggy's arrival. There were shots from the luncheon I gave each year for all of our friends at Norwalk Veterinarian Hospital. Then there was a picture of some of the cakes we ordered from Daniela's Little Wish, a nonprofit started by a local immigrant couple when their four-year-old, diagnosed with two rare life-threatening conditions, made a wish, as she tells it on her face page. Hi, my name is Daniela, and I'm 13 years old, and I love to bake and decorate birthday cakes or cupcakes for kids with severe illnesses and disabilities or having difficulties in their little lives. I realized that I could make a small act of contribution in this world, an act of humanity, do good for others. At almost 14, Daniela has spearheaded the search for cures to rare conditions like hers. She's an ambassador for hope. There is also an amazing friend, Mario, who has barely survived his birth in an ambulance when he stopped breathing, but was saved by a paramedic. Piglet has his own dance, and it's not because he could hear the beat of the music being played. His moves were not all over the place. When his crate was in the kitchen, he used to dance around it and do curlicues at each corner, steps that must have come from a canine music background deep in his DNA. Someday, I predict, his twisty and wiggly butt moves will become a national dance craze. In the early 2020s, Piggly's funky choreography received a compliment from a dance teacher named Debbie Falconer, who went on to comment, "Please let me know how to order the stickers, bumper stickers, and pins. I have adopted the Piglet mindset and brought it to my dance classes. I teach in central Massachusetts. I plan to use these when I see RAKs, that means random acts of kindness. I remind my students each week to be kind and courageous, brave and positive. They are learning a piece to You Raise Me Up, and they decided to use Piglet as their inspiration. I love Piggy, and so do my students." After I sent Debbie stickers for the dances, I heard back from her when she wrote to say how much the kids loved Piglet and how they were using him as their motivator as they prepared for their spring dance competitions. I had hoped that we could make a trek up to the Massachusetts area to surprise them at one of their competitions until, of course, they were all canceled because of the pandemic. Next week, we'll learn what happens as a result of the pandemic in Piglet, The Unexpected Story of a Deaf-Blind Pink Puppy and His Family by Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian. Our next reading comes from North Shore Animal League of America's newsletter called Paw Prints, Issue 2, Summer 2025. The devastation left behind by the recent wildfires in Los Angeles County and beyond has uprooted countless lives, both human and animal. As communities work to rebuild shelters in California, are facing an overwhelming challenge, finding space for the rising number of animals in need. While some shelters had emergency plans in place, others, like Western Riverside County Animal Services, had its three affiliated shelters, were already over capacity when the fires began. At any given time, these shelters housed nearly 1,000 animals, making it imperative to find placement for those already in their care. Without intervention, the shelters risk running out of space, just as more pets, many from families who lost their homes, arrive at their doors. That's why the North Shore Animal League America sprang into action, partnering with Western Riverside County Animal Services and Race for Life Rescue to bring animals to safety on the other side of the country. The plan, a cross-country life-saving mission that would transport 42 dogs and puppies from California to New York, ensuring that they get a second chance. The logistics of this rescue was no small feat. Race for Life Rescue, an air transport organization based in Tennessee, flew the animals from California to the Lehigh Valley International Airport in Allentown, Pennsylvania, where our mobile rescue units were waiting. The flight was staffed by two North Shore Animal League America team members who ensured that every pet passenger was comfortable and cared for throughout the journey. Transporting animals by air wasn't just the fastest way, it was also the safest. Ground transportation operations would have taken nearly a week, subjecting these already displaced animals to significant stress. Instead, the flight minimized the trauma of travel, allowing them to arrive as quickly and comfortably as possible. Disasters like this don't end when the fires are put out, said Sylvia Otaka, Senior Director of Rescue and Community Outreach Programs at North Shore Animal League America. Once a disaster disappears from the news, people move on. But for the animals left behind, the need is ongoing. We have to be there, not just in the moment, but in the aftermath, ensuring that these pets have somewhere to go. By relocating 42 rescued animals from California, North Shore Animal League America not only gave these animals a chance at love and a future, but also freed up space in the Riverside County shelter. This allowed them to continue their vital work, taking in animals from nearby shelters, as well as beloved pets from families struggling in the wake of the wildfires. Many people who lost their homes are now living in shelters or hotels and face the heartbreaking reality that they can no longer care for their pets. Sylvie explained, by opening up shelter space, we're giving them an option, somewhere for these animals to go, rather than being abandoned or surrendered to already overburdened shelters. When the plane touched down in Pennsylvania, our team was ready and waiting to carefully offload the crates and secure them onto our mobile rescue units. To keep the animals safe and minimize stress, they remained in their crates until they arrived at North Shore Animal League America at approximately 11 o'clock at night. As the convoy pulled into our Port Washington campus, the cold night air was stark, and it was in contrast to the warmth inside. One by one, the rescued dogs were carried off the mobile units, still nestled in their crates after long days of travel. Finally, warm beds and gentle hands welcomed them to what would be their last stop for a little while. Over the coming days, the new arrivals will receive the medical care, love, and attention they need before finding their forever homes. The mission came at a significant financial cost, but every dollar spent represents a life saved, a future secured, and a chance for these animals to move from crisis to comfort. As the rescue team reflected on this journey, one thing was clear. These efforts don't just save lives. They provide hope. Hope for the animals who made the journey, hope for the families who needed a solution, and hope that no matter the disaster, organizations like North Shore Animal League America will always be there to answer the call. This article titled, Going the Distance to Help California Animal Shelters. A childhood promise became a lifelong passion. Robin's love for animals began as a child in Brooklyn when a long-awaited promise from her mother led to her first pet. She was told that her request for a dog would be granted if they ever moved from their apartment into a house, and thanks to a twist of fate, when Robin was 11 years old, her wish came true. Their new puppy included a new family member, a beagle named Flippy. "That's where it began," she recalled. "Flippy's care was all on me, and I learned beagles sure love to run, but I also learned responsibility." Years later, Robin would discover the benefit of having low-maintenance pets, and she and her husband adored the Siamese cats who lived with them for nearly two decades. Today, as she enjoys the freedom of retirement and travel, having a pet is less suited to her lifestyle. Still, her love of animals remains unwavering. "Now, my husband and I are in a position to donate to organizations we want to support, and we wanted to choose an animal welfare organization," she explained. They turned to North Shore Animal League America because they appreciated its combination of local and national efforts and its personal touch that they receive in response to their gift. "Knowing my support is truly valued makes it even more meaningful." This article is titled, A Childhood Promise Becomes a Lifelong Passion. Home at last for two cobble cats. The journey to North Shore Animal League America that each of our rescued animals travels is different, but we strive to ensure it ends the same. With a loving home, that commitment was especially important for two remarkable cats, Potamus and Eduardo, who traveled all the way from Kabul, Afghanistan, to Port Washington, New York campus, and spent over 200 days with us before finding families who would change their lives forever. Potamus struggled in the shelter environment, so he was moved to our feline care home, where he blossomed into a chatty, affectionate cat. He preferred to be the only pet and thrived with individual attention. His adopter, captivated by Potamus, expressed face an incredible rescue story, knew right away that he was meant to be part of his family. Having experience caring for cats with FIV, he wasn't fazed by Potamus' medical needs and was ready to give him the devoted home he deserved. Today, Potamus is thriving as a cherished companion, proving that some cats simply need the right environment to shine. Eduardo's story is one of patience, trust, and an extraordinary connection. When he arrived from Kabul, he was nervous and unsure of the humans, having only known a life of survival. Our team worked tirelessly to help him feel safe, slowly earning his trust. Eduardo was selective about the company he kept, but one family stood out. They visited twice before finalizing the adoption, and when asked what drew them to Eduardo, the answer was profound. His adopter had served in Afghanistan. He understood what it was like to navigate a world that no longer felt familiar, to need time to adjust, to learn to trust again. That shared experience created an unbreakable bond. Eduardo was promised all the time and space he needed to settle. Today, Eduardo is thriving in his new home with his very own dog companion. Potamus and Eduardo show us some animals need extra time, extra care, and extra patience. And at North Shore Animal League, they're always having it. Because no matter where their journey begins, every pet deserves a future filled with love. This article, Home at Last for Two Kabul Cats. These articles all came from North Shore Animal League America, Paw Prints, a newsletter of the North Shore Animal League America, Issue 2, Summer 2025. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of Animal Companions for today. I do hope you've enjoyed the stories, and I invite you back again to hear more information on the animals in our lives and how they affect us. Until then, this is Joyce for Animal Companions and for Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Be well, everyone. Stay healthy. Be happy. Bye-bye.